Welcome to CFRI Cystic Fibrosis Community Voices, a video podcast series created by and for the cystic fibrosis community.
My name's Sydney. I have two kids, Gianna, who passed away in 2013 at 23. And see, here I go already. I told her I can't do this the other day. It's just like, this is like the most important group I've ever spoken to. And I've done a fair amount of public speaking, so I feel like I can usually hold my shit together, but I'm not gonna be able to today. Can I swear? It's, excuse me ahead of time. So anyway, I think that I will. I said I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do, but I think I will read what came to me in the middle of the night when Siri asked me to do this. I'm honored and I feel privileged to be here. I'm on the other side of a lot of you, and I hope that you don't ever get here, but some of you might, and you're going to make it. The people who have lost their kids recently, I'm so sorry. It's the hardest thing that I think a mom has to go through. So I woke up one night, it was September 17th, about 1:45, and I was very, very sick with the flu. And it turned out to be pneumonia. And I was just coughing and coughing and coughing, and I'm panting, trying to get oxygen from the lawn, drawing out coughing fits, and all I can think is, how did she do this every single day of her life? As I write this yesterday, and this was September 17th, I just accepted the offer to speak at this event. I was humbled and honored, and I also wondered, why me? As my daughter Gianna had already passed away. Gianna died at 23. Her life was amazing on so many levels, but still in all no more. Could I possibly give promise and honesty to you? Especially some of you with younger children, to the abyss of heartache and hospitalizations yet to come? Well, here's what I can say. We've all been offered this depth of spiritual connection to life that many don't get. When you have a child with CF, the gratitude for each passing moment is amplified tremendously. And when it's over, which it will be for all of us, we're left with this burst of joy so bright, no one can ever take it away. And this is what I know. I'll be the first to say there's no right way to do the CF life. It's constant navigation, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and ultimately it's a spiritual experience. This is what we've been offered here, an opportunity to grow, and I mean really grow. It's one we can't pull away from because it's crushed into our DNA. It's what binds us. It's what makes us who we are. It's like a thread from the cosmos that I'm not sure we'll ever truly understand, but it's a huge opportunity for spiritual growth to the nth degree that's been offered to us in this lifetime. No matter what faith, where you come from, where you're going, CF moms have this one common journey, is being a CF mom, and what a gift it is. So how do we do it? Well, one way is dark humor. Only this group would understand. Nobody knows dark humor like a CF mom. Between the bowel movements, the sputum, the surgeries, the vents, even death, we've got the humor on dark humor market covered. And it saved me many, many times. Just that little bit of levity in the most tragic times can lift your spirit just enough until the next thing. In our most dire days, Siri would call or she would text me, and without remembering the details, I'd find myself laughing uncontrollably because of some really horrendous, not funny, but funnier than hell joke. It would pull me out of the trenches for a breath before diving back in. And to those of who you've been like in end of life, it's just you gotta pop up for a minute and just get a breath and then you're just right back in. There's not a lot of space between the hard part. And it just pulls you back in long enough to get perspective. This is part of this bigger picture. It's just the story of our lives. And we're out of control, you know, and this too shall pass. Death's a funny thing. We're all going to do it. Yet when it happens so young, it rips your heart into little pieces that I think would take a lifetime to put back together. And truly being a mom, I think some of the pieces get lost forever. The hunk of your heart is gone to heaven with your child. And maybe we'll get it back when we go. But who really knows? This journey being a CF mom is one where we have to decide how we're going to handle things, and sometimes it's not well. Clearly. I'm here to let you know what a mess you could be. It's a journey of how to forgive ourselves and others for blowing it. And sometimes those blow-its cause pain and suffering. And I really appreciate your being so candid last night with your story, because sometimes we do things and it's really hard to forgive ourselves. It's standing up for our children in big ways when they can't for themselves. It's deciding what's important to us and following through on that. It's about finding the joy in the little things when all else seems to be failing. It's deciding where we want or we need to put our energy when it's all already stretched so thin. It's about accepting that our life is hard for some people to witness or participate in. And after my daughter passed away, I looked back on this a lot and I felt just kind of abandoned by some of my closest people. Like, why weren't they there? Why didn't they come visit her in the hospital? Like, this is my sibling or my mother. Like, and I just realized they couldn't handle it. It was too much for them to be there. And that's okay. It's about letting go when you have to. Everyone checks out in different ways. Not too long ago, a CF mom friend of mine lost her daughter. And one thing we all get is the CF mom-child bond. And I'm going to swear again, it's fucking indescribably deep. Nobody's got a bond like that. I mean, and I feel bad sometimes because I have another child, but it's different, you know? She asked me how I got through it. And my only honest suggestion was, any way you can for the first year. I don't care if you have to drink every day. I don't care, you know, sleep, go to work, be toned out, whatever. I said, you can worry about trying to get semi-sane the second year. When the physicality of that deep, loving connection is gone, the void is huge. Everyone copes differently. The roller coaster you're already on deepens in both directions, and this is where the gift comes in. So for me, it's about learning how to ride the waves and embracing the joy when it comes, because the joy is almost even bigger. I can give you that. Like, wow, you just are connected in this whole different way that's so huge. But then you try not to hold on to it too tight, because then it'll slip away. And so it's going down into those depths. And for me, I'm preaching to the choir. I mean, I don't know how you're going to do it or if you're going to ever have to, and I hope not. But when the despair comes so big, if I would gloss over it, I would get stuck in this like low-grade depression. And so I had to dive deep, and I had a lot of support with doing that. So I was lucky. It's about trying to see the people around you, how you can help ease their burden because you get it. And that's another thing I think we all get to have is we know pain. You can sit with someone's pain and really understand. And in turn, that would help me. It's about resting when you need to and not just pushing through all of the time. Self-care, which I think most of us don't have time for, is essential. And I think that's why we're all here. So how do we keep joyful? Well, for me and us as a family, and I'll go through all the pictures in a minute, it was contribution. We were lucky enough to have friends that wanted to do something and wanted to help. We started fundraising by simply by sending Mother's Day teas for CFRI as far back as I can remember. And when Siri came over, we were looking through some, and the last one we sent was on Gianna's 21st birthday. We started a barbecue at a 4th of July parade in Aptos, and we did that for about 10 years. And then, meanwhile, my friends would do crazy things like fun runs and aerobathons and, I don't know, whatever they could. It was pretty awesome. So bringing that community together was really helpful. Gianna, when she was little, I'm touching this thing. Well, there she is with her little sister. She would sell tickets to like shows in her room to the nurses, or she got a gumball machine once and had everyone up and down the halls when you could go up and down the halls by gum. Pre cross infection in the internet, the kids would all room together. And you still remember the 4-bedroom at Stanford and Robin also. And so we would spend time with the CF families and the kids, and they'd even come. We live in Santa Cruz by the beach. We'd have them come stay at our house, which is like, but back then it was okay. Gianna was really active in research until her FEV1 dropped below 40. She was very active in the CF community until she got MRSA. She was a active speaker at pharmaceutical companies and events until she grew, and it kind of petered off for a variety of reasons, but she pursued martial arts, got a belt below a black belt, and taught for 2 years, which she loved tremendously. She did junior lifeguards every summer from about 10 to 17. She swam on the high school swim team, and she was literally beaming despite all her health issues. She loved life. At her high school graduation, now it's going to get heavy again, she started coughing up blood. At grad night, she was in the bathroom coughing up blood, and they were going to kick her out because they thought maybe she had drank too much, someone who didn't know her. And someone came in and said, oh, that's Gianna. You just let her stay. She'll leave when she needs to. And so she didn't, of course. And then you're home, like, ripping your hair out, right? So the next day we had a party where we invited, like, 100 people for her graduation high school, and had a good rapport with her doctor and said, you know, what do we do? And he said, ice water and vitamin K, bring her in if it gets worse, otherwise I'll see you tomorrow. So that was lovely. So she got to do that. She went to the hospital, and they decided that they weren't going to do an embolism at that time, and she was going to Italy with her best friend, Kim. My sister lived there at the time, and Dr. Robinson said, I don't think that's a very good idea. And she said, well, I'm not going to a third world country, so let's figure it out. And they did. So we got our medical records together. CD-ROM where she'd need surgery if she needed it, found a surgeon, did the insurance thing, and off they went, and they had the time of their life. So this was her friend Kim, and this is another one of those joyful moments you get. Last week, her best friend Kim got married, and she had come to my house maybe 5 months earlier and asked if I'd officiate her wedding because Gianna was supposed to be her bridesmaid. And they were going to be each other's bridesmaids when and if the time came. And so it was an honor to be there in memory of Gianna and celebrate the most important day of her life so far. Bittersweet. Things are bittersweet. You know, it's all the big moments still happen and you wish they were there, but they're there in spirit, and so that's good. Last night I was telling a little story about how I became a minister, because this is just a silly story. So Gianna's best CF friend Adam, they spent a lot of time together at Children's, and Gianna was 12 and Adam was 16, and Adam was very sick, and he had a list of things he needed people to do before he was going to go anywhere. And one of them was that his brother Mary his sweetheart. And so his brother, they wanted to get married anyway. So they went to Macy's and bought a big fake diamond ring and told Adam, okay, we're going to get married. Don't you worry about it. You know, you can go now. And Adam was really happy about that. And Adam, earlier on, I worked in San Jose for a company called HireQuest at the time. And if I had worked late, Adam's parents weren't at the hospital a lot. And some kids you see, you know, when you're in the hospital a lot, we were really fortunate that we could juggle. My husband and I, we liked to be there. I worked in a restaurant at night or did different things, and he was able to be there during the day. I think we all just try to figure out however we can. And Adam didn't really have people, so if I could, I'd go spend the night with them, watch movies, you know, whatever. Just keep them company. And at the time, I had learned how to do some energy work called integrated energy therapy, and it's kind of like Reiki. And Adam had been, he was really in end stage, and he was in a lot of pain, and he'd always say, do that thing you do on me. Do whatever it is. He didn't care, and his mom didn't care. And so it helped with his headaches and his back aches, and I'd work on him. And I asked a friend of mine, you know, his mom doesn't care, but what's the liability of touching people in the hospital? You know, this is kind of a strange thing. It was all very new to me. And they said, become a minister. And so Adam that night on his computer, because this was a long time ago. I didn't even have a computer, I don't think. He did the kid thing. You know, they know how to do everything, and made me a minister online. And I'm like, okay, now I'm a minister. So that was awesome. So this is another crazy story, and I know we all have them. So the night Adam passed away, and granted, this was a long time ago. This was probably 15, 20 years ago. We're at the hospital, and I was telling Robin last night, we're at Stanford Hospital, and we're wheeling with the nurses his body out of the hospital, and there was two nurses there, and I kept remember one kept covering his face, and the other kept pulling the sheet down, and they were having this argument that it was Adam, and he couldn't be covered up, and the other one said, it's illegal, you have to cover him up, and so this whole bizarre thing is happening, and I'm just like, wow, okay. So we're out front, and Adam's dad pulls his Tercel up to the front of the hospital, and they literally loaded Adam's body into his dad's Toyota Tercel. I kid you not. And he was driving him up to Chester because they were Mormon and they were going to do it a certain way and he needed to be at their mortuary. I don't know. Anyway, they let this all happen. And in that moment, you know, I'm with his mom. It's heavy and weird. And and his brother and his girlfriend said, we have a question for you. And I said, well, what's that? And we'd like you to officiate our wedding. I'm like, well, okay, I guess so. I mean, yeah, I'll do anything for you, right? You just lost your sibling. I don't even know what to say. And that was the first wedding I ever officiated, and I've done quite a few since then. So that's how that came about. Another story of our bizarre lives. At 18, Gianna decided she wanted to go off to college. Another thing where I don't know how many of you have kids in college, but as a CF mom, it's terrifying. And she wanted to live in the dorms. I'm like, okay. Ah. So we got her a private room. We're like, okay, let's let her do this thing. And it didn't last long. Gianna was ill from a very young age. I didn't do her diagnosis story, but she got pneumonia at 6 weeks and was diagnosed at 4 months and was probably in the hospital over 100 times for a lifetime. So it she didn't have big chunks of time out of the hospital. I think the longest might have been 18 months, 2 years. So in retrospect, she lived a long time for the severity of her disease, which we were grateful. RCF kids are incredibly independent, a lot of them. I knew that she could do this thing when she called me, driving herself to the hospital, coughing up blood. Mom, I'm and assuring me that everything was okay. So I was like, okay. So I flew down, and They gave her, she didn't want to stay in the hospital she was at. She wasn't comfortable and she wanted to be at Stanford. So they gave her big doses of steroids and vitamin K, and we drove as like fast as we could and we got up here. And they told us the parts on the freeway where there weren't hospitals, and we drove faster through those parts. This is what CF moms do. We're freaking crazy. All of us. I'm not the only one. She moved home shortly, and next, and of course we had to pay for the dorm room for the whole semester. Like, yeah. Did anyone have that happen? Like, really? Anyway, the whole financial thing is a whole nother topic. She moved home after, and she wanted to move to Kauai. That was the next thing she wanted to do. Gianna was a surfer. She was an ocean person. She was not happy unless she was in the ocean, and the ocean got too cold. She would go in, her lungs would close up. They wouldn't open back up. She was depressed. She couldn't breathe in the water, and that was her life. And so, okay, well, let's talk to Dr. Robinson, see what he has to say. Her FEV1 was 34 at the time, holding the 34. So she couldn't do trials, so she didn't need to be here, you know. And he said, no, you can't move to Kauai. But Oahu's an option. Oahu's got hospitals that could take care of you. Most people thought I was crazy to support this decision. To this day, it's the best one I ever supported. She was happy there, extremely happy. She felt good. She worked at a restaurant. She felt productive in society again, which is so hard with the kids. She met wonderful people. The ocean was her home. And it really came together because of a group called the Malleola Foundation. And one of their participants said, come on over, you know, we got you. And so tomorrow I was hoping to be here, but I'm going to go volunteer with them because my youngest daughter's boyfriend might be playing too. He's a musician. So I'm sad I have to leave, though. After 8 months on Oahu, she got very ill twice. But until then, she had some of the best time she had had in her life. And so it was worth it. She came home because mold started growing in her lungs. And you know, unless we could have afforded to buy a brand new house over there, it wasn't going to work out because Hawaii is very wet. And I don't know if that's for everybody, but that was for her. It was a problem. When Gianna was close to transplant with the help of my mom, we invested in a condo with a lockout in Kauai. And it was really, I look back, these were the things I look back at because it was crazy. I was trying to buy this place. I didn't really have money for it, but I thought I could rent it and make it work somehow because she was going to get to live there one day because it had a unit. We could rent this unit out and it would help pay the mortgage, and she was going to get transplanted and get to go live in Kauai. And so that didn't happen, but during her end days, that was what we were planning. So we got to play and look and dream and say, you know what, the paperwork's gonna go through. This might happen. This is so exciting. And we kept looking forward. And I think for us, those end days, having that hope was what brought us through. You know, it's holding on to that piece of maybe this might happen. In hindsight, it's a good thing it probably didn't, because she probably wouldn't have made it anyway. For my family, it worked out where my husband got very ill, and he spent some time over there, so it's turned into a healing place, and we call it Gianna's Place, and we rent it out. And we also donate it to fundraising and make some money for the community that way. This kind of brings me to, I'm under the belief that we're all governed under a universal law that what you focus on grows. To me, that has little to do with physical manifestation, but all the spiritual attributes we're all looking for, love, community, wanting to feel heard, seen, the gratitude and the beauty that shines through this life that just binds us all. I think sometimes they become a physical reality, and it's not always easy, but they're always accessible for all of us. And sometimes just digging out of the trenches seems like an impossible feat. But we know, like, CF moms are really good at that, I think. We do it over and over and over, you know, right when you think you can't take anymore, there's more. I think that there was a few other points I just wanted to make. Like, we make big mistakes sometimes, and all of us as people, and forgiveness of ourselves, but other people. We had a doctor who made a really big mistake, and I was telling this story last night, a big mistake. You know, her FEV1 dropped like 20 points with this G-tube they put in that was too tight, she couldn't cough. They didn't put the long tube in, it was a mess. And he came and apologized. He sat on her bed and talked to her for probably close to an hour about his family, about how sorry he was. And Gianna forgave him completely. She was like, you know, that's all I needed to know. Sometimes the doctors can act like arrogant or like they know more or they know what's going on. And all we want them to do is be human. And they're allowed to make mistakes too. So that was really good. Another thing is assumptions. When people assume you're not doing something because your child's sick, that would make me crazy. And my husband is crazy. And so when we were in the hospital when the kids were little, and some of the kids were really sick back then too, they would make them, like, some of the doctors or nurses would make them, if you just did your treatments, so we're like, they're doing their treatments. You know? Except for Danny would actually make a meeting with the person and tell them to stop. Stop giving this sick child a hard time. Gianna was doing 3 pulmonary treatments a day. One time in her classroom, she was doing an extra pulmonary treatment, and she was getting sick. She was hospitalized 11 times in 18 months. And the social worker came to me and just told me I wasn't taking care of her. And I was like, what? I'm her mother, you know? That's all I'm doing right now. And how dare you, right? It broke my heart that someone could even assume that of me. And Gianna was doing everything she could to be well. She was doing an extra treatment with her vest in her classroom every day at lunchtime and still getting sick, sick, sick. And it ended up being the air conditioning unit in her room, although we checked everything, was dripping like a Petri dish. And so that got fixed and she got better, but who knew, you know? So letting people know that you're doing everything you can. And then I think the last point for me where in hindsight was a little bit of a mistake that I kind of regret, and you know, we did the best we could, was following your intuition. And that's really hard sometimes. And Gianna I'm gonna put this away now, had a long talk about that once, because this was the G-tube incident, and she knew it wasn't a good idea. And we were on the way to the hospital, and she knew, but she got beaten, like browbeaten, into this is the only way you're gonna survive. And G-tubes are fabulous. For most people, they work out great. For her, she knew, though. She just knew it wasn't gonna work. And I looked at her on the way over the hill and I said, you don't have to do this. And she said, yeah, I'm just gonna do it. She had surrendered to the fact that one of the doctors said, you'll never be able to do all the things you wanna do. And that was like to her, like, oh God. So, and it didn't work out at all. And so then we had the hard conversation, and I know some of you guys are going through the decision to transplant. Like, well, when that comes, where's that line between I'm really afraid or I know this isn't right? That is a fine line. And just digging deep and finding out what that is for you. And you can't really do it wrong, or I don't feel like we did it wrong. We did the best we could. But just for my heart and soul, that was like, oh my God, sometimes you just know, you know, and who knows though. Anyway, that's really about it, I think. You know, I could go on and on and on, because there's a million different stories. It was a huge life. The siblings, what about the poor siblings? Those of you who have one more than one child, like, they disappear. That's hard. And the last thing I have to say, actually I have a really good thing to say. So giving back was our biggest thing. And we've had a really busy life, you know, just like all of us. The last 5 years, I'd lost a couple sisters. My Gianna passed away. My mom died. My aunt got hit by a drunk driver in front of my house. You know, it's like, bring it, bring it, bring it, you know? And like, then how do you get back up, right? So here we are. But the other day, my daughter came to us and we went out to dinner, my youngest daughter, and she'd been wanting kids but wasn't planning on having kids, and she told us she was pregnant. So now we're having a grandchild, so that's really exciting, and we're really happy about that. And for us as a family, I think our biggest dream is that there's a cure for this disease in our lifetime. That's all we want, really. I mean, of all things, besides a happy grandchild, and, you know, we'll teach him how to live like G, you know, and just have a good life. But if I could have one thing happen in this lifetime that would make me happy, that would be a cure for this disease.